Blog Talk Radio.
Making my own dreams come true, one happily ever after at a time.
Hi, and welcome back to Books with Becky. This week we go back to our regular format, which is me getting to chat with a romance author. Well, actually, I don't limit it to romance, but this week we have a romance author from Australia. So it is my pleasure to welcome Mila Young.
So, hello, Mila. How are you going?
I am doing very well. I know that I wanted to talk about the Shadowlands series this week. This with your Wolf Shifter clans, because I believe book two has recently been released.
Yes, correct. So book two has just come out, and I'm currently working on book three. So that is correct.
Okay, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the world building that you did for this, because listeners may not know that it's actually a dystopian reality where wolf clans pretty much are all that's left of humanity.
Correct. Personally, just going back a little bit, I've always been a huge fan of wolves. I think it's like one of my first books I ever wrote was actually a wolf-based one. So going back to writing wolves in this particular series was something that was kind of very close and personal to me. The other thing I've always loved is I've always loved dystopia and sort of, you know, end of the world type stories. So it sort of made sense to sort of try to merge them together into one story. So in this particular world, a virus has actually spread and actually killed most of humanity. The story is based in Transylvania, in the country of Romania, and they're all humans have pretty much gone extinct, and all that remain are pocketfuls of wolf packs, and predominantly the territory is, marked by a one alpha, and there's a lot of rogue wolves around the world, in the country trying to, seek and claim more territory. At the same time, actually die in the world or come back as zombies, just to make it a little bit more complicated in this world.
Well, I think complicated stories are the best ones. If the plot is too simple, it's really going to just lose interest, especially in this type of genre, where you really get the opportunity to, you know, you're not as limited by, you know, reality. No one's going to read your book and say, this is not realistic.
Exactly. I mean, I try to think about it. All right, let's say the world, you know, does come to an end, and there's a virus, and, you know, it's kind of probably a bit too close to home. But this particular one is, you know, basically, yeah, just a bit. But, you know, it changes people. And, like, for example, the heroine in the story, there's something wrong with her. And, you know, that's something that she finds out much later in the story as the story evolves. But that particular thing that's wrong with her, and I'm not going to give it away, but it actually makes her immune to the zombies. Really, she then becomes very well sought after by the wolves, who obviously are at the mercy of zombies and having to live with them. And because they're thinking, well, she might actually be an answer that we're all looking for in terms of having the, you know, immune blood to help them. Of course, nothing is ever straightforward and as simple as that, I suppose. And once you find out what actually is causing it, it's very, disastrous and not what she's expecting. I don't want to give it away because it's a huge spoiler alert, but yeah.
I was going to say, please don't.
It's something that, you know, no, definitely not, but it's just something that she has to deal with. And then, you know, she meets the three alphas, and basically, they're the ones that have to help her get through it and deal with it, I guess, and come to the reality of what she is and what's happening to her.
Well, it sounds really intriguing. It's funny you said that it gets a little like close to home with what's going on in the world right now, and it just made me think, because I'm a fan of The Walking Dead, and I remember seeing this thing on social media months ago when all this began that said, this is not the apocalypse that I was looking for, like, or that I was waiting for. Where are the zombies?
Exactly. It's like, I don't remember anyone being told to stay home all the time during these movies.
Right? It's like, look, that's all they needed to do was just stay inside and flake
exactly,
over toilet
exactly.
paper.
So
like, who expected? Who expected toilet paper to be the key apocalypse item?
Exactly. So, like, when you have Mad Max and, you know, what are they after? They're after fuel, or they're after water or something, all of those movies. In ours, they're after toilet paper.
Yes. In the real world, it's toilet paper. You need to be able to wipe your bum.
Exactly. Priorities.
Just one of those many times that fiction so completely outdoes reality. Like, let's give a little thought to it, people.
Exactly.
Let's get a little bit more creative
very, very
here.
True. I think you need to be. I mean, I guess the whole idea is when you dive into a story, like I know when I read stories, it's for escapism. So really, I want to get into a world where, you know, it might be dire, it might be really severe, and, you know, things have got to happen, but there's that thread of hope that, you know, things are going to somehow improve, and that's what you kind of hold on to and you keep reading about it, knowing that even though the world is becoming the most worst place in the world, it's always, you know, that somehow it's going to get better. So that's the hope, I guess, we all hold on to.
Oh, I love that. And so I had a couple of years ago, I got interviewed by Philadelphia Voice Magazine. And it was less about the book that I had coming out and more in reference to a blog post I had done about how romance writers are looked down upon. And he wanted you know, my take on that whole thing. And he said, you know, what is it that you think makes, you know, romantic fiction worthwhile? He's like, I'm not saying that it's not, but what do you think? And I was like, it's the hope. It's the happily ever after. It's the you're going to get to the end and everything's going to be resolved. And it's fiction. It's for escapism. But seriously, so is everything else that you read. Like, unless you're, you know, reading to learn, you're reading to relax. And there is nothing more relaxing in the world than hope. Like,
exactly.
Shut off the news and open up a book. And just disappear into somebody else's imagination. Yes, it's amazing, especially when, like yourself, a writer is actually able to build an entire world. So it completely takes the reader out of whatever's bringing them down or causing them stress or worry. It's, you know, you can just put all of that on the hero or the heroine and how they're going to get through, and they do at the end. And you're right, it gives people hope.
Exactly. And I mean, it's interesting, like with everything happening, obviously, you know, I guess it's on the media, it's everywhere, but I have been noticing an interesting uptake in more readers actually asking for these type of end of world stories. And, you know, it's I guess the way I see it is you read it because, you know, it gives you that possibility of, you can see something that is mirroring, I guess, your own world, but then at the end, there is a possibility that things are going to be good.
Yes. God, it's got to go back to normal at some point. And I find it interesting.
You think
that,
so?
Yeah, I hope so. But I find it, like I said, very, very interesting that I don't know about down in Australia. But here in the, and I'm actually get the general impression that this is almost something specifically, you know, to the United States, but more whenever a city is having financial difficulties, they seem to slash funding for schools first.
Okay.
And trying to make up that cash. And they don't want, like, nobody actually wants to take money from children's education. It's not something they're doing because they're greedy. It's something they're doing because the city is having financial issues and they need to keep the order running and the lights on. So they almost always, without fail, take the arts programs out of the schools first. Because for some reason it's seen as
not
an unnecessary or not as necessary.
Yeah. Exactly.
And over the course of the last, well, I think it's been like 5 months now that this insanity has been going on. People in, you know, forced to stay at home or in quarantine or they're sick or whatever situation is, more and more people are turning to the arts to get through. They're turning to books and music and movies. And I mean, they're expanding those horizons as they're trapped in their homes waiting for the pandemic to end. And I just kind of was like, it is our time. Like, that's it. And I was like, the apocalypse will be the time of a renewal in the arts. Like, it's, we're going to be looking at a huge post-COVID renaissance.
I 100% agree. I mean, you know, I've definitely seen a lot more people reading than they have. I've spoken to a lot of readers who all say the same thing. They need to escape. And there's so many bad things happening around them that the only way they can escape, because there's nowhere else to turn to, is to read, which, you know, is fantastic but also sad at the same time, because, you know, the world is such a difficult place right now.
But I think that might go into how you said you've heard from a lot more readers where they're looking for more, post-apocalypse fiction and things like that. Like I said, I think we're going to have a COVID renaissance, where we're going to have an explosion of arts, and probably a large percentage of that is going to be post-apocalyptic art, but it's, I think it's on the horizon. I do. I think that, you know, in the years to come, when people talk about this part of history, it's going to be more with what came out of it, like the good things that have come out of it. And
not the crappy part of sitting
in your house for 5 months fighting with your neighbor over a roll of, you know, a roll of Charmin.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we'll think about we'll have statues to writers, to authors. I'll have one here in Philly and me. You'll have one. Where are you at in Australia? But to be sure, I'm just to let you know.
I'm actually just south of Sydney,
on
the coast.
My geographical knowledge of Australia is limited to Crocodile Dundee and Finding Nemo.
Oh, that's funny. Are you aware where Sydney is on the map?
I know there is a beautiful opera house there, and I can totally find that dentist's office on Wallaby Lane.
So basically, where Sydney is right on, sort of in the middle, I guess, on the east coast.
Okay.
So it's kind of looking outwards, and like when I fly, for example, to US or Hawaii, we always fly sort of, you know, to the right and head out towards the US that way.
So, oh my God, I can't believe it. I just got the warning from the studio that we only have 90 seconds left. The 15 minutes never seems to be enough time. And
so
I talked to such interesting people, so yourself and Aussie. You're my first Aussie, if I say that right.
Mm-hmm.
And
Aussie, close enough.
I've had a Canadian and a Brit, and it's like I love the accent. Somebody from the Deep South, God, her accent was fantastic, and she's as American as I am. But it's just, I don't know. I love the voices. Because we so often we read each other's words and we see each other on social media, but we don't actually ever get to hear what each other sounds like. So I really enjoy getting to talk to everybody.
Exactly.
And
we're
going to get cut off.
Position, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're going to get cut off in less than a minute, and it's very abrupt the way that it cuts off. So I want to make sure that I thank you and that I encourage everyone to go and check out the Shadowlands. There is a chat screen connected to the episode info that is available online and by link that gives a book blurb as well as a link to where you could find it and a bio on Mila. And we've only got 10 seconds.
And I want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I will definitely like to do this again sometime.
Yes, I'm maybe, up for that, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's blinking red at me. It's going to cut us off any second. So I'm just going to say goodbye right now, just in case.
Bye.